Today's responsive read has come from Proverbs chapter 26, verses 17 to 28. And as those of us in the church here read this responsively, I think all of us could have come up with a beautiful title. I imagine you were formulating your own title on this portion of Scripture. I'm going to title this, The Cancer of the Tongue. The Cancer of the Tongue. As we read verses 17 to 28, one of the themes that seems to be oft repeated in this particular reading was the damage that the mouth, the lips, and the tongue can create in a home, in a relationship, in a business, a school, and above all, in a church family. Verse 17 starts off this way. He that passeth by, so here's a person, he's passing by, and he notices a couple of people are not getting along too well. And so this person who's passing by, they decide to be the Holy Ghost. They decide to be judge, jury, and the executioner of this rift between two people. Notice, he that passeth by and meddleth with strife, so he gets involved in a tit-for-tat that is none of his business. None of his business. He's a disinterested party. But nonetheless, he wants to dive right into the swimming pool without the water. Belonging not to him. Now, I don't think I'm giving you an off-the-wall interpretation. You can read words. I can read English. You can also decipher the meaning here. Here's a person walking by, sees two individuals not getting along, exchanging words, maybe exchanging some very nasty looks and nonverbals. This person, they decide to be, you know, Oprah Winfrey or Dr. Phil. We're going to solve this problem. And it doesn't belong to you. What does the Bible say of such a person? It's like one that takes a dog by the ears. I challenge any one of you to walk up to a German Shepherd, fully mature, beautiful face, lots of muscle, lots of bite, wring his ears. Do that to a Rottweiler. Or better yet, do it to a Chihuahua. And you're going to find yourself going to the hospital and needing stitches. Because those three dogs will do you in. And so, beloved, what is the lesson being taught here? Mind your own blooming business. Keep your nose where it doesn't belong. How many church families have been disturbed by the meddler? Someone who puts their nose where it doesn't belong. Matter of fact, if you don't believe me, I believe it's either in 1st or 2nd Thessalonians. Paul has to rebuke some of the members of that church who stopped working and thought that it was their high calling to meddle into other people's businesses. And you know what Paul told them? Get to work, shut up, and mind your own business. So, human nature doesn't change between Proverbs and the first century, let alone the 21st century. What else do we find here? Verse 18, as a madman that casteth firebrands, arrows, and death. You ever see a man who's crazy? He's out of his wits. His rude behavior. He's very verbose. He goes out of his way to make everyone's life miserable. So is the man that deceiveth his neighbor and saith, am not I in sport? I was just kidding. Now, there are times and seasons when, you know, having a good time, telling a few clean jokes and doing a little sport, as long as it doesn't get carried away or anybody is hurt or someone loses property or someone's feelings are are detrimentally stepped on. We're not talking about some of the jesting that goes on even amongst family members at a holiday meal, bringing up memories during childhood. But when someone goes out of their way, notice verse 18 is the key. You got the madman. He just simply throws firebrands, arrows, and death. This man goes out of his way to humiliate somebody or to downplay somebody or to destroy someone's character. And then when that person's feelings are now so crushed, then this person has the gall to say, "Oh, I was just kidding. I was just kidding." I think that's what is being addressed here. Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. Again, notice the power of the tongue. The power of the tongue. In verse 17, the meddler gets involved with his own lips and his own tongue by trying to be the all-appointed arbitrator. And he finds to his own hurt that his help was not needed. The person who goes out of his way in a jesting manner, but in that jesting, he humiliates and downgrades and crushes another person, and then has the nerve to say, "Oh, I was just kidding." Then you got the person who goes around tattletaling. All right? Now, when you take wood away, that which is now fuel, the fire goes out. If there's no wood in the fireplace, beloved, you're not going to get a fire. You're not going to get any kind of heat. You're not going to be able to cook anything. All right? Remove the talebearer, and all strife and all malice and all confusion ceases. Verse 21, as coals are to burning coals, again, using the illustration from wood now to a chunk of coal, and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. And in our congregation over at 17 years, we've seen a little bit of that as well. You may have even seen it demonstrated in your family circle. You may have seen this demonstrated in your local neighborhood or in a classroom, whether it be high school or college. Maybe some of this stuff is well displayed in the workflow, in the workplace. Verse 22, the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Notice how in this portion of Proverbs, the attention is given to the power of speech, the power of the tongue, the power of the mouth and the lips, and what sometimes can flow. Verse 23, burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. He that hateth dissembling with his lips and layeth up deceit within him, when he speaketh fair, believe him not. So notice, the person who goes around crushing other people's hearts with vicious words and jesting that is then cloaked with maliciousness, when he does speak fairly, when he does speak aright, notice, we're told, don't believe him. For there are seven abominations in his heart. You know, if you're around somebody who's constantly jesting to the point of humiliating and crushing other people, he has a habit of doing this. And then he comes across and says, "Oh, I didn't mean what I said. I was just joking. I was just joshing." When he does come across with good words and a fair speech, the Bible says, put your guard up, because maybe that's his tactic. He lures you in with fair speech, and then when he has you, then he'll crush you with his jesting, and then apologize for what he or she has done. Notice the power of the tongue. Verse 26, whose hatred is covered by deceit. So notice, this is actually a small little context. This is not just one little verse and then it goes on. Whose hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness shall be shown before the whole congregation. The whole congregation. Eventually, this individual, his tactics, his motives will be exposed. Whoso diggeth the pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth the stone, it will return upon him. You know what that says? What goes around comes around. The person who's out there meddling, the person who's out there crushing other people, eventually he's going to be meddled with, and he's going to be crushed as well. A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. Now look at that verse 28. Look at that verse 28. And in closing, take this verse and then apply it to 30 AD, to the words that came from the lips of the Pharisees, the scribes, the lawyers, from the Sanhedrin towards Christ. A lying tongue hated those that are afflicted by it. Was not Jesus afflicted? He was a man. He did possess a human nature. You don't think those insults affected the humanity of your Savior? And a flattering mouth worketh ruin. How many times did the Pharisees say, "Oh, we know that you're a teacher sent from God, because no man can do these miracles." One person called him good master. And Jesus says, "Why do you call me good? There's only one who's good, even God." And so there it is, the cancer of the tongue. Well, may God choose to bless his word. Amen.